Close enough so I can breathe you. Close enough to make me nervous, yeah, yeah. Love is hate and love is fire. Fill my head with dumb desire. Turn me on again. Come on, come on, turn me on again, yeah. Love is hate and love is mercy. First you kiss and then you curse me. Turn me on again. Come on, come on, turn me on.
Pano and Turn Me On Again, BBC Radio 2. David Tennant is with us. It's 8:15. Just before we go on to David Tennant, what about those groundsmen who were goating Carl and Brian? Chris Goating is using a huge vacuum cleaner machine to pick up leaves. Is that goating? Why do they call it goating? Thank you for the post-breaking news information. We're very grateful. All right, he's here. Yes, David Tennant is in the studio. Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm very well. How are you, Chris?
Yeah, good. You get one of these.
Hello.
That's my little boy Noah there, welcoming you to the show.
Thanks, Noah. I appreciate that.
So, David's always wanted to be an actor since the age of three, at least, as long as he can remember. Quote-unquote, he could be like those funny people on the telly. More importantly, travel through time. He also wanted to be Doctor Who, which he achieved. And now he's in this new film called Fright Night. David, this is a big movie. I know. I've seen it. Did you get a big motorhome?
I had a two-way, they call it, which is where you have to share the motorhome with someone else.
No, who did you share with?
There's a false wall down the middle. It sort of varied. Anton Yelchin or Imogen Poots, it would vary depending on who was on set that day. Colin Farrell's the only one that got a whole motorhome.
I was
going to
ask you about
him. Yeah, but he deserves it. Come on.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Was there a connecting door in your two-way?
There wasn't a connecting door. Not that I could find, anyway. Perhaps there was. Perhaps you can open it up if you're, I don't know, getting to know your co-star. But it's not something I discovered.
So when you arrive, you know, on set for the first day's filming,
yeah,
you know, what is the intrigue about? Is it the motorhome? Is it the parking space? What? Tell us how that all begins.
Well, if when you first arrive on a brand new set, especially in a different country, you don't really know how the land lies, and you drive up the first day, you think, oh, what am I getting? Am I in that little portaloo over there, or do I get like a lush dressing room? And because this had a sprinkle of Hollywood about it, I didn't know what to expect. I thought, I admit, there may be a Pantechnicon laid on for me.
Was this movie made in America?
It was made in New Mexico and Albuquerque, yeah.
Right, so that's pretty good. That's pretty cool, isn't it?
Yeah.
So Fright Night, you know, I went to see it last Friday morning at 10 o'clock in the morning.
An interesting time to see a vampire film.
Yeah, well, you see, to see a movie generally, you're not really in the movie mood, you know. And vampires and me, that we don't sort of mix very well.
Really?
Bright sunshine outside, my whole life ahead of me, and I go down to this sort of dingy dungeon place. But I've got to say, it was brilliant. Not just saying it because you're here, you play a reluctant, absinthe-swilling vampire slayer based in a rock star penthouse in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Was it real absinthe? Were you ever in Las Vegas?
I was in Las Vegas on a kind of research trip, but the actual penthouse...
What do you mean a research?
Well, I kind of thought this is a really good excuse to go to Vegas for a few days.
Right.
And have a sniff around and see some shows and, you know, drink it in. So I went there and I did some roller coasters and I looked around. Saw some shows, but no, it was all filmed in a soundstage in New Mexico.
But that penthouse, that was some...
It's a great set.
That doesn't exist at all.
It doesn't really
exist.
See,
that's what means...
And it's supposed to be at the top of the Hard Rock Hotel, but I don't think there's a penthouse like that at the top
of the
Hard Rock
Hotel. It's funny, isn't it? Because, you know, I remember that movie Beaches. Do you remember that movie Beaches?
Yeah, Bette Midler.
Bette Midler, yeah.
I cried at that.
So did I.
Yeah.
There's this gorgeous house on the seafront, you know, and you think... God, you know, how much is that house? How'd you get it? They just built it for the movie, then they knock it down. Movies are responsible for creating great houses that don't really exist all the time.
Yeah. Well, it's all aspirational fantasy living, isn't it?
Now, your character, reluctant vampire slayer, I think that, as Johnny Depp, he says, you know, he based his character observation of his pirate in the Caribbean on Keith Richards.
Right.
Could I say, am I right in suggesting, perhaps, could this possibly be true, that you based the first half of your vampire slayer, your reluctant vampire slayer, on Russell Brand?
Do you know, I didn't. I really didn't. And everyone's saying that, I mean, the look is a bit
like
him.
Does that upset you?
No, it doesn't upset me at all. No, I mean, why not? And I have to say, once you put the leather... When you put a pair of skinny black trousers on and you have a long black wig and a goatee beard, not to think... He's so cornered the market in that.
Yeah.
It's hard not to think of Russell Brand. So I'm very happy to be, you know... for people to think that, but it wasn't really in my head.
All right,
I put the costume on.
So how do you figure out how you're going to play a vampire slayer then?
Well, you know, you start with the script and then you. I did watch quite a bit of Richard E. Grant and with Neil and I.
Did you?
Yeah, there's a smattering of that going on.
One of the greatest movies of all time.
Absolutely.
And let me ask you this then about this script. You mentioned the script there. You know, it could, you know, vampire movie, you know, nowadays, especially, it's been done to death.
I know.
That genre. It could have been rubbish, but it wasn't. How do you see through a script and go, no, actually, this one's going to play?
You never really know. I wish I could be, you know, have some great insight. But you always, you know, if you get a kind of buzz off it, you think, well, it's worth a go. I like the fact that it was a vampire movie that was a bit of an old school vampire, a vampire that would rip your head off, you know.
Well, you say he's old school, but Colin Farrell, we can say he plays the vampire, can't we?
We're allowed to say that. There's no mystery there.
He's a pretty Diet Coke, sexy, denim wearing vampire.
Sexy vest wearing, yes.
Yeah, don't you think so?
Absolutely. No, but it's that, you know, because recently vampires have all been a bit lovelorn and a little bit, you know, twinkly.
Yeah.
But this vampire just wants to kill you. And Colin, you know, because he's an imposing figure.
He wants to kill you after he slept with your mum.
Exactly.
That's the thing.
Or he'll kill your mother while he's sleeping with her, maybe.
This is the first movie, I have to confess, the first movie I've been to, where I am openly happy to admit I fancied the mum more than the female lead.
Do you feel that that's some kind of indication of your mortality?
Yeah, I'm free. It's okay to fancy the mum.
Well, it is Toni Collette. I don't think many mums look as well as her.
Well, you never know. Yeah. So listen, you're the big 4-0 yourself this year. Has it happened, or are you...
It's happened, yeah.
You're heading towards... Okay, we'll talk about that. You're going to judge Head to Headlines. He's with us all morning this morning, for as long as he wants to, at least. We've got David Tennant here, star of a brand new movie, Fright Night. It's out very soon. We'll tell you more about that as we played some of his songs. The first one, The Beatles, Here Comes the Sun. He brings himself, he brings joy, he brings knowledge, wisdom, talent. He brings spirit, energy, and he brings one of the greatest records of all time.
Here comes the sun, here comes the sun, I say it's all right.
Here comes the sun, and indeed it does, today and all weekend, hopefully, that's what they're saying. More news about goating. Matt in Yeovil says, the reason blowing away huge amounts of leaves is called goating is because the leaf vacuum is called a billy goat. But goats aren't renowned for sucking, are they, Moira? You know about this kind of stuff.
I have no idea. I know nothing about farming.
Moira's here, Alison's here, final day of Head to Headlines, David Tennant's here. Tell us about the Beatles and you, David, briefly.
I've become a Beatles fan very late in life, sort of last year.
Yeah.
I've always liked them. But it was when I was in Albuquerque making this film.
Yeah.
I went to Walmart and looked and thought, I need a CD to play in this apartment they've given me, and picked up Let It Be. And from then became obsessed, and since then have become like a proper full-on flag-waving Beatles fan.
And what about Abbey Road? Have you Abbey Roaded yet?
Of course. What, you mean been to Abbey Road?
No, the whole album. Have you Abbey Roaded?
Yeah, it's brilliant.
It's the perfect workout album, just so you know. Not that I've worked out for a while, but when I did, I used to do the... Because it takes you through all the ebbs and the flows and this and the that.
Yeah.
You know, and the colour and the you know, all the kind of stuff.
What I've also got into is Beatles Rock Band. Have you played that game?
No.
Where you play the... I mean, you don't play the guitar. You're just pressing buttons on a PlayStation 3. But you feel like you have this guitar and you hang it over your... And you feel like a rock star.
Actually, you look a bit Beatly today.
Thanks very much.
Okay. It's transgressing all the way through your very being. Are you ready to judge Head Headlines?
I can't wait.
All right, here we go. We have Alison versus Moira. It's 1.5 to 2.5. Moira's in the lead. Alison, you need this just to tie today. And your stories are Gator Gas, Poster Boy, Egg Bod. Moira has Fang. Rather appropriately, there's a point there in the bag already.
Yeah.
Picky and green. Alison, go up against Fang with Gator Gas and good luck.
As petrol prices pinch our pockets, scientists in the United States believe we could soon be powering our cars with alligator fat. Waste from alligator and crocodile farms in the US contain oils which have been found to be similar in quality to soybean oil, which is the main ingredient in biofuel. Researchers are trying to think up a snappy name for the possible reptilian gas.
All right, Moira, is it a shoo-in with Fang?
I got no chance. A grandmother from Bangor in North Wales received a slithery surprise as she hung out her washing. A live snake fell from the sky and landed amongst her sheets. Jean Owen, age 71, threw a duvet cover over the Baird's rat snake before running for help. Experts said the talon marks on the rogue reptile indicated it had probably wriggled free after being grabbed by a bird.
David, who gets the point? Is Alison with the Gator Gas or Moira doing her Fang?
I think Moira almost takes it for the way she said slithery surprise, which got me rather excited. But I'm going to go for just because of the green credentials, I'm going to go for the Gator Gas.
All right, Alison, you're one up.
Yeah.
Vassos did text me yesterday. He said, do whatever it takes to win.
Yeah. All right, well, you are signing.
But you are going to have to up David. Your alliteration, Alison, because Moira nearly snuck it on that.
Slithering snakes was good.
Yeah. Alison, poster boy, does she have any alliteration in the waiting here?
Coronation Street star Simon Gregson had an up-and-down day when he spent over an hour stuck in a lift at ITV headquarters. Gregson, who plays Steve McDonald, may have been forgiven for thinking he was hallucinating while stranded in the confined space when all he could see in front of his eyes were images of himself. The lift was covered in posters of the actor, but while his day may have plummeted to new depths, things could only go up from there.
All right, Maura, picky, please.
I'm going home. A rambler lost in the fog was saved after she texted a picture of herself. Surroundings to rescuers. The wandering woman had set off on a 7.5-mile walk in the Lake District before suddenly becoming shrouded in mist. She contacted the emergency services but had no idea where she was. The photo gave enough information for experts to locate her within 90 minutes.
Please don't go home ever. Please. So Moira's picky against Poster Boy from Alison. David Tennant.
I'm going to go for Moira shrouded in mist, which I think that's the phrase. I'm sort of it's phrases within the story that I'm finding most appealing.
Yeah, or images.
Images,
or
exactly.
Things
exactly.
Flying off the page. It's so, one all.
It's one all.
Alison, for the win, give us egg bod next, please.
Many people in the UK enjoy an easily cooked egg for breakfast in the morning, but a British couple are consuming up to 100 per week. That's around 14 per day in a bid to win the coveted title of Mr. and Mrs. Universe. Rob Ronaldo and partner Vanda Pessoa are tapping into the well-known but oft little appreciated protein value in eggs in order to bulk up. Opponents have mocked the excessive strategy, but the couple hope, come competition time, the yolk won't be on them.
Maura, you have to take on Mr. and Mrs. Universe, potentially with green.
US scientists are warning us to cut carbon emissions to save humanity from an alien attack. Watching from afar, extraterrestrial beings might view changes in the Earth's atmosphere as a sign of a civilization getting out of control, the report suggests. The researchers at NASA and Pennsylvania State University admit the scenario is unlikely, but say we should prepare nonetheless.
DT, it's over to you.
Well, I think the bodybuilding couple, I'm very worried for their cholesterol. So I don't think they should be encouraged. I think in an act of deference to my former job, I think it has to go to the NASA scientists.
No! The NASA scientists have it. Maura thrashes Alison. Sorry about that.
Sorry, Alison.
If you're listening, come back soon.
Oh, what a beautiful morning. Oh, what a beautiful day. I got a beautiful feeling. Everything's going my way.
Don't cry, Alison, it's fine, it's all right. Moira, please stop it now. Come on. Lenny, you ready to get
us out
of all this?
I'm ready. BBC
Radio 2. Other roads.
Accident on the M6 southbound junction 20 to 19, M56 through to Knutsford, causing delays. Also, northbound tailback on the M6. There was an accident, junction 3 to 3A, Coventry, through to the M6 toll. All lanes are now open, everything's on the side, but it's still really busy. Thanks to Bigger Birdie, Grace's dad, Chris, Mossy, Penny, Judith, everyone who called in. Big problems, though, can persist on the M1. This is northbound. It's still closed. Junction 12 to 13. Toddington through to Bedford. There's an accident there. You've also got one lane closed past the scene. Southbound queues back towards Milton Keynes at Junction 14. And Sundown has said there was a breakdown on that southbound side at Junction 14 as well. There's at least an hour delay in both directions. Good news from South London. Blackwall Tunnel, the northbound approach, has reopened. There was an accident there. And if you're heading for the V Festival at Western Park, Western under Lizard, just east of Telford, for delays to the scene, M6 northbound exit slip is closed at Junction 12, which is Gailey. That's to ease the congestion, but there are southbound delays on the M6 towards Junction 13 now, according to Rockin' Robin. My number, 03700 100 200.
Thank you, Liam, for stepping up to the plate there so hastily. Moira is also hastily back in her booth. 8:31 news headlines on Radio 2.
BBC News, there's been an attack on the offices of the British Council in the Afghan capital, Kabul. The authorities say 8 people, all of them policemen, have been killed. British and Afghan forces are now at the scene. MPs are warning that British forces in Afghanistan could face shortages of vital equipment within 30 days if the system for sending them supplies breaks down. The Commons Public Accounts Committee says the military supply chain is at critical risk of failure because IT systems are old and inadequate. The number of people in prison in England and Wales has risen by about 100 a day over the past week because of the number of people being jailed for looting and rioting. The Prison Governors Association says there's no immediate crisis, but warns that jails could run out of space if they continue to fill up at the same rate. Some small branch railway lines are reporting a dramatic increase in popularity. Operators are putting the success partly down to the staycation effect, with people choosing to holiday in the UK. Today's weather, it'll be mostly dry, but northwestern areas will have rain later. Those are the BBC headlines. Our next news at 9 o'clock.
Thank you, Maura Stewart. Well done there. Thanks to Alice, thanks to Lynn. They're all back before the end of the show, 8:32. David Tennant stays with us for as long as he likes. And this is today's 70 Smasher. Good effort from Hell's Bells, from Hull, and India, our exec producer. When You're in Love with a Beautiful Woman by Doctor Who. When you're in love with... It's the best she could do. Bless her. She was out late last night.
When you're in love with a beautiful woman, you know it's hard. Everybody wants her. Everybody loves her. Everybody wants to take your baby home. When you're in love with a beautiful woman, you watch your friends. Trust her, then somebody hangs up when you answer the phone. When you're in love with a beautiful woman, you go it alone. Maybe it's just an ego problem. Problem is I've been fooled before. And every time it happens, it just convinces me more. When you're in love with a beautiful woman, you watch her eyes. When you're in love with a beautiful woman, you look for life. Everybody tempts her, everybody tells her. They know when you're.
1970 Smasher Friday morning. What was the year for Doctor Who? 1979 is the answer.
Oh, I'd have thought it was earlier than that.
I would have thought it was earlier as well. Doctor, I always think 73, 74, Doctor Who. I think 73, 74, early 70s generally, and nudity on stage, which they were famed for, weren't they? Yeah.
Doctor Hook were.
Doctor Hook.
I bet they were very hairy as well.
They were quite hairy, yeah. Right, so David Tennant with us this morning. Brilliant new film. It's out in 2 weeks on September the 2nd, but it's out in America today.
It is.
This is Fright Night. It's a vampire movie. How do you feel about an opening weekend thousands of miles away where you really, you can do nothing about it?
I
can do
nothing about it. And frankly, I'm in quite a good position, whereas it doesn't really matter for me, from my point of view. I mean, I really want the film to succeed, but it's not on my shoulders, as it were, because I'm just, you know, I'm just the strange, quirky Brit doing a kind of, doing the comedy turn.
So so you're not starring in it, you're co-starring in it, though, aren't you? I mean, I've seen it. I would say you're at least a co-star.
Yeah, co-star.
Is Colin Farrell the star?
Well, Colin Farrell's the money, isn't he?
Yeah, he's the...
I don't know.
He's the big face, isn't he?
He's the famous one.
Who plays the kid?
Anton Yelchin. He's the star, eh? It's his movie. He's in every scene.
It's his movie, isn't it? Yeah. Is he well known? I don't know about this guy.
He was Star Trek. He was Chekhov in Star Trek.
Right.
He's Russian.
Is he?
Yeah, well, his family are Russian.
Well,
yeah,
you'd never know that. And Colin Farrell, of course, different, you know, reformed character.
Oh, he's such a charmer.
Very, very much our generation's Robert Downey Jr. was on the bridge
for a while. Yeah, I guess.
Unemployable for a while, let's be frank about that. How is he now?
Lovely, together, charming, generous, lovely man. Yeah. Really, really lovely man.
Did you know him in his heyday of rashness?
No, I didn't. I don't know how bad it got for him, but he seems a very together human being now.
All right, and you know, it's big in America, as I say. Colin's opening the movie. You know, you got to sign someone up to open the movie. Is he doing what you're doing over here, over there?
I have no idea.
that's promoting the film. Have you ever done what you're doing today over there?
A little bit.
For what?
Well, I did some this week. I sat in a studio in Hackney this week with a thing in my ear, getting beamed onto breakfast shows across America. So
really?
It was the oddest experience. And because, of course, you know, because Colin and Anton presumably are over there doing the posh breakfast shows, I was literally on at 6 a.m. in Milwaukee.
It all counts, baby.
And then, of course it does. And you're just going from one station to another around thinking, this is the weirdest thing. And they're in you're going, good morning! Hi! Hi from St. Louis! And they were all very sweet, but of course they didn't have a clue who I was.
So if you're just tuning in, I've got to tell you, this film Fright Night, in it David Tennant plays a reluctant vampire slayer who is sort of in the middle of doing a show about an illusion show in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
You're a headline act in Las Vegas.
Exactly.
And you've collected all these anti-vampire things because your parents were slain
that's a spoiler given away.
Oh, I don't know how much to give away.
Well, you know.
When you talk about a movie, I'm not...
Oh!
Have I given too much
I don't
away?
Think that'll kill it. But yeah,
have I just pierced a stake through the heart of the movie?
I think that's it. Our opening weekend is just deflated. It's over. Oh, dear.
See, this is the thing when you interview somebody about a movie, you don't know how far to go with the plot. Because you want to entice people to go and see
it,
but you don't want to blow it.
Yeah.
Can you give me some don't blow it guidelines in future?
I think you're meant to say things like, your character has a dark secret in his past. You're meant to say things like that. Not come right out with what it is.
Oh, no. I'm sweating. I'm genuinely sweating here. Right, what do I ask you now? I might just play a record. I'm going to play a record. I'm bailing out. Throw me a rope. Throw me a rope. I'm drowning here. 22 to 9. It's one of David's choices. Owl City Fireflies. There's a deep, dark secret about why he's chosen this song.
But we can't reveal it.
We can't. If 10 million fireflies lit up the world as I fell asleep, 'cause they fill the open air and leave teardrops everywhere, you'd think me rude, but I would just stand and stare. 'Cause I get 1,000 hugs from 10,000 lightning bugs as they tried to teach me how to dance. Trot above my head, a sock hop beneath my bed. A disco ball is just hanging by a thread. I'd like to make myself believe this planet Earth turns slowly. City Fireflies. So tell us about the choice of that record, David Tennant.
I think slightly erroneously, but I kind of believe I introduced Earl City to Britain rather pompously.
Okay.
Because I was in America and they were playing it on the radio all the time. And I loved it. And I bought the CD and I came back here and then did a bunch of radio thing, doing like a bunch of promotion stuff. And went on, I think it was Jo Wiley's show. And she said, oh, what have you been listening to? And I said, this great track by Earl City. She'd never heard of it. And I thought, if I'm ahead of Joe Wiley, I couldn't be further ahead
of
the curve.
It's a good place to be.
Oh, my Lord. So I played her record on that record on her show, and it was like number one 6 weeks later. So they owe me big time.
I think that's actually a claim that can be substantiated. Did Joe play it when you went on the show?
Yeah, I don't want any... I think it was Joe's show, unless it was Fern's show. It was one of the other.
Oh, you can't mix Joe and Fern.
Oh, it was one of the two.
You're doing what I just did. This is as bad as what I just did. How do you think Joe's going to feel about that?
Well, she won't mind. But I felt, you know, I don't want it to be investigated too thoroughly in case I'm disabused of the fact that I believe it was me.
So listen, you talked about...
I want to keep believing it was me.
You talked about America there, and you know, you came back from America, you've been doing some work there, and you've been talking to American TV stations about this new film that you're in.
Yeah.
How big are you in America? How do people know you in America?
They don't.
They must know you.
Well, there's, you know, Doctor Who, I think, principally, has a certain level of enthusiastic fan sort of around the world. And, you know, so there is that fandom in America, but it's not ubiquitous like it is here. So I have a certain cult following, I guess.
All right. Now, movies, you know, I didn't realise you've made so many. Obviously, when you come on a show, I get things about you. I read them now and again. Yeah. I did read about you because I like you a lot. I want to get it right. You've made several movies, haven't you?
A handful.
Is this the biggest, the best?
Well, this is the first big American studio picture that I've made, yeah. I mean, it's probably not as big as Harry Potter, which is, it's hard to... Yeah, I did a bit in one of them.
And obviously, vampire movie, completely ready, ripe, and up there for a sequel. When do you get to know about that?
I imagine, and again, I'm new to all this, but I imagine it depends on how our opening weekend does, which starts today.
I know, and so on Monday or Tuesday, you'll have an idea whether this is a hit or not.
Probably. I guess it's as straightforward as that.
Because if it doesn't open, it just... bums, doesn't it? It's simple as that.
Just forget about it.
But yeah. I think this is gonna work. I don't know much about movies, but I think it's gonna work because I don't like vampire movies and I liked it. So
should put that in the poster right there.
I think they might. I think they
might. Yeah.
And when you sign your contract for the first one, all right, does it have all the sequel clauses in it? Like, you know.
Well, I can't speak for everyone else, but I don't know if I'm meant to divulge that kind of information.
Good stuff. Give us a scoop. Come on. So obviously it's a yes.
There were clauses, yes.
There were clauses. How many? Are we talking Fright Night 17, 18? Now, that's what I call Fright Night 104. What are we talking about?
I'll still be there at 75. Hopefully keeping my shirt on there by then. There might be another couple.
Hang on a minute. I'm so glad you talked about the shirt thing. Mm. You are very cut in this movie.
I'm really not.
You
cut.
Spend the
I
first
mean,
12
God
or 30 minutes
you,
of your appearance with all you have on is leather jeans and some kind of crucifix, and that's about it. You're pretty cut, my friend. No. We were all very impressed.
No, no. In fact, the director said to me he liked the scrawny... I like the scrawny British look. Don't dare be going to the gym.
So that is not scrawny.
Listen, when you're on set with Colin Farrell and Anton Yelchin, who are all, you know, proper Hollywood gym body types.
Yeah, but that's the whole point. You can see the work that's been done there.
Whereas with me, it looks careless.
No, you just, it's natural. Let's put it that
it's
way.
It's certainly natural.
It's natural. Yeah. So nothing done at all.
My appendicitis scar there for the world
is
to see.
Is that what it was? Is that genuine?
Yeah.
And no.
What do you think? That was a prosthetic.
Well, all I thought was when I saw your torso, your tummy, the central of your very being, I thought, where does his food go? If you had a midget gem, you'd see the outline of it. What happens with you and food?
And in America, with a craft service, there's a rolling buffet on set at all times.
That's always tough, isn't it?
Tough,
and the smell wafting over the set, alluring you, seducing you to come
little
over to
cheeky
it.
Snickers at 3 a.m.
And all the crew, of course, gorging themselves to death.
Of course they are, the size of houses, yeah.
That's why movie sets are so big,
yeah.
To accommodate the crew.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to talk again more to David Tennant. As long as he'll stay, we'll have a top 10 news surrounding David.
I'm looking forward to that.
It's time for his Gobsmackers now. He says, my first choice was almost one of my Desert Island Discs.
Ooh. Yeah.
See, he's getting in the fact he's done Desert Island Discs.
Have you done Desert Island Discs?
Maybe.
Of course you have.
So I feel I owe it to a play. My second track is by a couple of guys who I feel are underrepresented on the radio. We just don't get to hear them enough. We said you'd pick the Proclaimers, and he has with I'm On My Way. Yeah. But first, Blondie and Hanging on the Telephone.
I'm in the fumble, it's a one across the hall.
Listening to the Chris Evans Breakfast Show on BBC Radio 2.
I'm on my way from misery to happiness to thee. Uh-huh, 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 uh-huh. I'm on my way from misery to happiness to thee. Uh-huh, 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 uh-huh. I'm on my way. What I want from this world, and years from now, you'll make it to the next world. And everything that you receive up yonder is what you give to me the day I wonder. I took a right turn in yesterday. Yeah, I took a right turn in yesterday. Steve.
I'm on my way, and bluntly hanging on the telephone. 9 minutes to 9 o'clock. David Tennant's choices for the Gobsmackers. The boy did well then, yeah?
I think he did okay.
I think he passed the Gobsmacker test.
First go.
What do you think, Al?
Yeah, enjoyed.
Yeah, good. There's Desert Island Disc, the warm-up, and then there's the Gobsmackers, which is the real deal here.
Absolutely.
Georgie in Whitney says, Chris, you haven't spoiled too much of the film. David's being very hard on you. It's a remake anyway!
Is it?
David Tennant is playing the same role as Roddy McDowall. Is that true?
Well, it's a reimagining. I don't think my character has quite the same plot twist that Roddy McDowall enjoyed.
A reimagining, don't you love that? By the way, I watched the original of Against All Odds yesterday morning. You know,
oh,
the black and white film?
I'll go with that, yeah.
Starring Robert Mitchum and Kirk Douglas. We talked about it on the radio.
Did you curl up with some toast?
I got myself ready. 20 to 12, BBC Two yesterday morning. The original of Against All Odds. It was called Get My Thing to Hang Myself With.
No, wasn't it?
Raise the Gallows.
Build My Gallows High is what
something
you're talking
like that,
about.
Yeah. Anyway, it was dull as ditchwater, I've got to be honest with you.
Yeah, but Robert Mitchum, he couldn't act.
It was dull as ditchwater. Deborah McNeil says in Aberdeen, Chris, you haven't ruined the film for me. Still going to watch it, still laughing. Well, bless you guys. Bless you so much. David Tennant, Claire Hunter says on Twitter, Real City.
Yeah.
It was Joe Wiley's Saturday show.
I knew that.
David appeared on. It was on Radio 2. I remember because I was decorating at the time.
There you go. I was right. I should have had the courage of my convictions.
How did the decorating turn out?
I don't know. Let's find out. Let's find out more. Can you please get back in touch with us, Claire Hunter?
Send a picture.
Currently trying to contact Joe Wiley to get her on the air to ask her if you were her baptism
she doesn't let me down.
Our city was concerned. And let's talk now about you helping us out in our lives, David Tennant, as an actor. Right. Come on, give the rest of us some tips. How do we act more confidently?
Oh, why? I have no idea.
But you're an actor and you're really good at it.
Yeah, only if I'm supplied with a script at all times. I can't do it off my own bat.
Come on, how do we do confidence? How do we pull the wool over people's ears?
I can't believe Chris Evans is asking me that. Really?
Oh, this is all front. You know that.
Well, that's what it is, though.
I'm a withering, dithering wreck.
Confidence is only ever front, I'm
all right,
sure.
Here's a question for you.
Yeah.
When you feel a little bit emotional, too emotional,
yeah,
and you want to bat those emotions back because it's going to ruin what you really want to say,
yeah,
how do you get rid of that?
Do you know, I actually do have a hint for that. And do you know where I got it from? Esther Ranson. I remember her when I was a kid talking about doing this, That's Life. And somebody interviewed her and said, what do you do when you want to cry? And she said, I dig my fingernails into the palm of my hand and it just stops me going and I can carry on. And she's absolutely right.
So you've done that?
I have done that.
So you've got...
You can also stop you laughing at the wrong moment as well.
So the first tip is you've got to grow
just
your fingernails.
Keep your fingernails slightly long.
Yeah.
And just dig them into the palm of your hand.
Right, we're getting back into the vampire theme again.
Yeah.
He always brings it back to the movie. Fright Night, out soon.
I'm
go see
very
it.
On message.
He's brilliant in it. And he's cut. Like there's no tomorrow. Opens in America over the weekend. Big weekend for this film. Will it be a hit? They'll find out on Monday, Tuesday morning. That's a lot of pressure, isn't it,
really?
Lynn? I mean, you know, you do a travel bulletin. Yeah. You say, Chris, how was that?
Was that okay, Chris?
I said, I think it'll play. I think it played.
Yeah,
I think people like it.
Yeah,
I think it, you know, it could go to on your greatest hits.
Yeah. I guess if Britain gets snarled up, then you've failed, right? I guess that's how you...
Hang on a minute.
Thanks for that, David, yeah.
I mean, isn't that how...
Who booked this guy?
You know, that's surely how you've got to have a way of judging your...
just like to point out, I'm not the cause of the traffic. I'm just
nor is
she
a symptom.
Okay.
Yeah. When Britain gets styled up, that's when we need...
We need
the traffic jam slayer. That's what
yes.
we need.
That's why I'm always here.
Her parents.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was ugly, frankly. It was really ugly.
Yeah.
She's back. That's
why
you're
always in leather trousers and, you know, I'm very cut.
By the way, what a great look. Leather topped off with tweed.
Does it work?
Oh, completely.
It is a very nice jacket.
Thank you.
I do
you're
like
very
that.
Kind. Yeah.
Alison on the text, 88291. Today's top tenuous subject, please.
It is Mr. David Tennant.
Oh, hello.
So he's live here. Your desperate claims to David's fame, please. We'll do that after the news. And we'll do the news after the travel. We'll do the travel after the sport, which is now with Alison.
And Tottenham thrashed Hearts 5-0 in the first leg of their Europa League playoff tie in Edinburgh last night. Hearts boss Paulo Sergio admitted that the damage had been done ahead of the return leg at White Hart Lane and that the team let themselves down badly with the way they played.
In the first half, we were playing like someone that buy a ticket to see the game in the pitch. Just follow the ball with our eyes and don't press the ball, don't press the other guys. When you give some spaces like that to players like Tottenham as in their squad, it's always so difficult for us. So there is a huge difference of quality between Tottenham and the Hearts, but we should do better than we did in the first half.
Stoke manager Tony Pulis praised his players for coping with an artificial pitch to beat FC Toon 1-0. Rangers let slip a 1-0 lead as they were beaten 2-1 by Slovenian side Maribor. Celtic drew 0-0 with FC Sion, while Fulham beat Dnipro 3-0, and Birmingham had a goalless draw with Portuguese side Nacional. Former Arsenal Vice Chairman David Dean has urged fans to get behind manager Arsene Wenger. The club haven't won a trophy since 2005, but Dean's warned there's a danger Wenger could walk out if he keeps getting flack, which Dean believes he doesn't deserve.
It could come to a stage when he will say, well, I have had enough, but yet he's still got something to give. At least that's how I feel, and I believe the fans should feel that. They should at least give him the respect that he deserves and what he's done. He has transformed the club. Now, fans want trophies. So does he. Nobody wants a trophy more than Arsene Wenger.
Well, Arsenal play Liverpool tomorrow in the Premier League. There's commentary on Radio 5 Live from midday. After yesterday's rain, England's cricketers will resume this morning on 75 without loss on the second day of the fourth test against India at the Oval. Andrew Strout is on 38, Alistair Cook on 34. And Andy Murray is through to the quarterfinals of the Cincinnati Masters. He'll take on Gilles Simon later today, having beaten Alex Bogmoloff Jr.
Just about got it in there with the music. Well done. All right, Lynn's here now.
Accident on the M6. It's southbound, junction 20 to 19, M56 through to Knutsford. It's in the central reservation, so two lanes closed. The queues are back to junction 21A, but there's also two lanes closed on the northbound side. East of Nottingham, just hearing about an accident on the A52. Now, officially it's eastbound. One of my guys says it's westbound, so just take it steady at the Saxondale Island, the A46. Northbound queues on the M6 as well, after an accident was moved to the side. It was junction 3 to 3A, Coventry, through to the M6 toll. M1, it's still closed northbound, junction 12 to 13. That's Toddington through to Bedford. The queues are back to junction 11. It's taking you at least an hour to get through. One lane also closed on the southbound side. Those queues back to Milton Keynes at junction 14. V Festival at Western Park today. Western under Lizard, of course. East of Telford. We've already got delays towards this, and the exit slip from the M6, this is northbound at junction 12, Gailey, is closed. It's to ease congestion. If you're southbound, the queues are from junction 13. My number, 03700 100 200.
In a world where travel matters, here to save the day is Lynn Bowles.
Travel slayer. It does work.
Yeah. people. Take my advice. If you love someone, don't think twice.
We're a bit late to the news. It's Friday, so that doesn't matter. And David's here. David Tennant with us. Stick around for his top tenuous. That's the Rubettes. Here's Moira Stewart. Her last of the week. Make the most of it. Radio 2 online, on digital, on 88.91 FM.
BBC News. Officials in Afghanistan say at least 8 police officers have been killed in an attack on the offices of the British Council in Kabul. The Taliban has said it carried out the attack on the cultural organisation to mark the anniversary of the country's independence from British rule. The BBC's Quentin Somerville is in Kabul and says it was a large, well-organised attack.
The Taliban sent in a car bomb that exploded, took down the wall. Wave after wave of attacker went inside, we think at least half a dozen. Not only were they armed, but they had suicide vests. The area is now being cordoned off. Many British troops there, in fact, I've never seen so many British troops on the streets of Kabul, also supported by Afghan and other international forces there.
Prison governors say the high number of people being jailed for last week's riots is putting a strain on places. Official figures, which cover England and Wales, show the prison population has risen by more than 100 a day for 6 days. The Prison Governors Association says if sentencing continues at this rate, they could run out of space. Police in Northern Ireland are investigating the kidnapping of a mother and her teenage son from Belfast. They were abducted from their home by an armed gang on Wednesday night and released only after the boy's father paid a ransom of £200,000. The system used by successive governments to fund public projects like new schools and hospitals has been condemned by MPs as poor value for money. Under private finance initiatives, businesses build and run services which are then leased back by the taxpayer. The Commons Treasury Committee says the long-term costs such are much higher than conventional government borrowing. Its chairman, Andrew Tyrie, says there were good reasons for introducing PFIs, but the costs have spiralled.
It was hoped that it would be possible to get private sector experience into how to run these projects. And to some degree that's happened, so there have been some improvements and we've learnt a lot. But the whole thing's got out of hand and we're now, I think, running PFI on far too big a scale and it's the taxpayer who's getting ripped off.
Syria has reacted defiantly to calls from Western governments for President Assad to step down because of the violent repression of protests against his rule. The country's ambassador to the United Nations, Bashar Jaafari, accused the United States of waging a humanitarian and diplomatic war against his country.
This war has one aim, instigating further violence in the country and giving the wrong message to the terrorist armed groups that they are under American and Western protection, so that they go ahead with their insurrection.
Some small branch railway lines are reporting a dramatic increase in popularity. Journey numbers on some services in Cornwall and Derbyshire have almost doubled over the past 3 years. The Association of Train Operating Companies says it's down to more reliable services and more people holidaying in the UK. Today's weather, a mostly fine and dry day with some sunshine, which will be hazy at times. A few showers will affect northeastern parts of Scotland at first, with thicker cloud and rain arriving in Northern Ireland and western Scotland during the afternoon. BBC News at 9:05, are next at 10 o'clock.
Thank you, doll.
Original British drama on BBC Two. The countdown has begun for everyone.
Mr. Lyon, time.
5.
Is your guest here yet?
No.
4.
If you don't come home, I will divorce you.
Freddy, we should get out of it.
Get out, we've got it further in, Hector, come on.
2.
What the hell do you think you're doing?
Trying to keep the show on air.
1.
Welcome to the hour in this most extraordinary week.
Time is running out for the hour. You can watch the series so far on BBC iPlayer.
Online. On digital. And on 88 to 91 FM. BBC Radio 2.
Happy Friday, everyone.
The Chris Evans Breakfast Show.
Good morning, Britain. Welcome to another day here on planet Earth.
sugar-coated iceberg on the text 88291. The Radio 2 Breakfast Show is currently collating your David Tennant top 10 new outs, and we're very much looking forward to it because we know how much you were looking forward to having David in your ears this morning. Very popular man. What's it like to be so popular, so ubiquitously loved?
It's carelessly easy. I don't know. I don't know how you answer that question.
But can you feel the warmth? We've had other people on the show before, and you know, we've said to them, you know, you're a national treasure. Can you feel all this warmth, all this love? And they've said, yes, yes, I can, and I love it, and I'm very grateful for it.
I'm very grateful to be liked in any. You know, I have very modest ambitions.
This is why, you see, this is why you're humble with your success. And now we have... Oh, hang on, breaking news. Hang on a second.
Online, on digital, and on 88 to 91 FM, Joe Wiley.
Yeah, online, on digital.
Radio 2.
And now on The Breakfast Show, Joe Wiley's here. If you've just tuned in, David claims to have brought Owl City over to Great Britain as an import from America. It's all down to him. He appeared on Joe Wiley's show. She says, what are you listening to at the moment? He says Owl City. They play it. She plays it. Then they're a big hit. David claims it's down to him. Joe Wiley on the phone now. Joe, how is it for you?
Hi. Hi, Chris. Hi, David.
Morning, Joe.
Bit of role reversal here. Hi.
I feel like I may have slightly... I was hoping this wasn't going to be investigated too thoroughly. I hope you're not going to let me down.
No, obviously, because you are the saver of new music, despite what anybody might say.
Thank you. You're quite right.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, people think I know about bands I kind of hear and get tipped off about them, I play them, and then they kind of, you know, go on to great success. I'd never heard of Coldplay until you got in touch with me.
Thanks.
And you were like, Joe, there's a band called Coldplay, check them out. And I did.
Yeah.
I played them. And then you went, oh, there's a band called Oasis.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of them?
That's right.
I went, no. Played them, became a big success.
Yeah.
I heard it first from you.
Yeah.
There's a band called Owl City, and they had the song Fireflies. I was listening to The Breakfast Show on Radio 1, and you were a guest with Fern Cotton, I believe. And you said, Fern, why don't you play Owl City, Fireflies?
Yeah.
She did.
Yeah.
And then you came onto my show, and you went, Joe, the band called Owl City, Fireflies. I'd never heard of it before.
Yeah.
I played it. I owe it all to you.
I am the power behind your throne, Joe.
The thing about this is, Joe, he's giving you the same line he's given Fern Cotton.
My point precisely.
You're getting second-hand lines here from the Tennant boy.
Excited? I think so.
You know... If it works for one, Chris, you just roll it on, don't you?
So who did you go to next with the Owl City Fireflies line? Don't tell me Dale Winton.
Ken Bruce, I think.
All right. Well, Joe, thanks for putting us straight on that. Listen, have a lovely day. What are you doing today, Joe?
Today, I'm getting ready for my holiday from my home.
Oh.
All right, you have a lovely time.
Thanks for making me sound interesting, Joe.
Bye.
Okay,
three cheers. I am going to Cornwall. It's beautiful down there.
All right, three cheers for Joe Wiley.
There's one. Bye.
And there's three. David, ahead of your top 10, you're seeing your departure from this programme. You're in the you're in the theatre land. You're whipping it up. You're wowing and you're wooing with much ado about new thing.
Yeah.
And you're on at 7:30 tonight. How do you fill in those long and tortuous days? Because you have to peak at 7:30, don't you?
I do. I have to peak. I feel like I'm peaking now. I don't know what I'm going to do with myself. There's going to be a long slow simmer all day now.
You know, they say don't save your best for the strangers, and that's what you always do in theatre land, isn't it? So how does your family feel about that? Because do you have to hold back all day being brilliant and energetic? Just say, darling.
I find it remarkably easy to hold back my brilliance.
Yeah, darling, sweetheart, I'm sorry, I can't be a great human being at the moment. I've got to save that for the paying public at 7:30 this evening.
Exactly. You know, you just got to, it's a long, slow simmer from getting up in the morning.
All right, gun to your head, theatre or movies?
Oh, don't make me choose.
Got to do it, I'm afraid.
I can't choose.
Got to do it.
Well, I started in the theatre. You know,
so
I can always go back to it.
So if Hollywood's listening, he's not interested. Of course he is. Let me ask you this. I talked to an actor recently about what's going on with the business, the future of everything to do with acting. As more and more movies and things generally, art in general, music, you know, other stuff, is being downloaded, listened to for free. Kids don't realise these things have to be paid for at source.
Yeah.
What's the worry in the industry about this? What's the word on the street there?
I think the industry is finding ways to cope, and I'm sure it will adjust and survive, because I think... people want that product, and it will have to find a way of being financed and produced. I don't know what that'll be, and I don't know what will have to adjust itself. But the thing is, cinema going is still, I think, going up. I, we're in the West End at the moment. It's sold out every night. You know, I don't think there's a lack of appetite. And I think people are willing to pay for what they like.
Good stuff.
You know.
All right, good stuff. Excellent. We're going to move on to your top ten, US. I do believe Alison Mitchell has it ready for us now. Coming up, David Tennant's top ten. You sit in the presence of David Tennant. After Oasis. David also broke in the UK and the world on the global music scene.
Thank you.
Roll with it, BBC Radio 2. Zen Bruce on the way. The Zen Meister here at 9:30 this morning. Just before him, a bit more reminder time on the text 88291. Email us, chris.evans@bbc.co.uk. Who are you? Who are they? And then the words don't forget, whatever it is you want them to remember. So your name, their name. And then don't forget, and whatever that may be. Use us, try not to abuse us, but we're there for you. After Ken today, Vanessa Felt sitting in for Jeremy Vine this week. Jeremy returns on Monday. 2 o'clock, Steve Wright on The Big Show within this afternoon. Paul Simon and Louis Spence. 5 o'clock, Lisa Tarbuck sitting in for Simon for the last time this week. Simon's back from his 3 weeks jolly holes, and Lisa heading the Fife for All Requests Friday. Choose the first song via her blog, and then after that on the telephone, 0500 288 291. With us this morning, it's the final furlong for David Tennant. How's it been, David? You can tell the truth.
I've had a ball here.
Honestly?
This is a very fun show to be in, Paul.
Good. And you've had a free cup of tea. You've had a combination of waters.
I had coffee and water. And I was greeted with one croissant as I arrived. Help yourself to the croissant.
Croissant.
I didn't have it. I didn't have it. I left it for someone else.
Was it on a paper plate?
It was on a paper plate with with some slightly stretchy cling film.
Right, well, I've been in here 6.5 years and I've seen a picture of that. I thought it was a thing of mythology. Yeah, I thought it was vampire-esque. All right, David's in a brand new film. It's called Fright Night. It's out in America today, so if you want to go and see it, through the last flights from Heathrow about 3:15 this afternoon. Yeah. Stick around for 2 weeks. It's here, opening in the UK. Stars Colin Farrell, the man sitting opposite me now. Alison Mitchell has the top 10. You said David Tennant. Is that right?
That is right.
Okay, David, tell us if these true or false.
Go
off you go.
Come on, Alison.
In at 10, then, yeah. Jane says, I queued all night to buy David Tennant's slippers from the Royal Shakespeare Company.
Oh.
It rained all night.
Well, I mean, I wasn't there. I didn't sell them. But I do know, I did have a pair of slippers because I had to run around backstage a lot in bare feet. I did have a pair of slips at the RSC, and I know that they did sell them. So, probably true.
In at 9, Gaynor says, my husband's friend and his sister viewed a house in Glasgow, which was for sale. They didn't buy it. David Tennant did.
That's probably not true. Yeah, I've never bought a house in Glasgow.
One out of two.
Yeah.
In at 8, Louise says, my cousin Maddie is Catherine Tate's makeup artist for Much Ado About Nothing, also starring David Tennant.
Yes, yes.
Wonderful.
I mean, I can't verify that that is her cousin, but certainly Maddie's
sounds
there.
About right.
Sounds about
right. The backstory's
like,
right.
Yeah,
we'll
yeah,
have
yeah.
it. Okay. At 7, Olivia says, my friend's brother was in St. Trinian's 2 as a beatboxing choir boy. David Tennant played the bad guy, and I'm not sure if my friend's brother ever met him.
I don't think he did. We weren't in a scene together, but he probably was in the film. Well, give him that. Give him a ding.
In at 6, Jill says, I have a friend called Leanne who once touched David's elbow. I wasn't there at the time, and I can't verify which elbow.
Did I cure her from some disease? I mean, I felt the power go out of me.
Right, OK. It's another yes.
In at 5, Carol says, David was staying at the hotel I worked in Bath, and he almost ran into me when he was coming down the stairs. Mm. Unfortunately, he missed me.
Well, I have stayed in a hotel in Bath. I mean, it's quite difficult to verify the actuality of the fact, but yes.
At 4, Paul and Charlotte say, our friend Mari from Peebles once played in David Tennant's garden when she was wee and he was about 15. She's now in her mid-20s.
I can't verify that.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I can't think
true.
Who that... It may well be true, but I can't think who that is.
The maths work for me on the ages. I was thinking about that. Anyway, I'll stay out of it. Well. Carry on.
Climbing at 3, Elaine says, David's dad, Sandy, performed my marriage ceremony in St. Mark's Church, Paisley, 1975.
That sounds very, very likely, yes.
At 2, John says, David's father, Sandy, was my Auntie Lizzie's Church of Scotland minister in Bathgate in the 1970s.
Wow, that also sounds very likely, yeah, yeah.
And at 1, Dave in Nottingham says, I made 2 back teeth for David Tennant last year. Unfortunately, I never met him.
Let's have a look.
2 back teeth.
Open your gob, come on.
I don't have fake back teeth. I've got an inlay. Maybe that's what
maybe
he
that's
means.
The
was
one.
Was it for a part? Because was it for a part, maybe?
No. I've had front teeth made for a part, but never back teeth. You'd never
are
see
giving
them.
Giving it to the guy or not?
I don't know. I think, I'm sure if it's something medical, he should probably be discreet about it. So give him a honk.
Honk off, my friend. Honk off. 7 out of 10, David. Thanks for being here this morning.
It's been a joy. Thank you.
Okay, lots of love. Good luck to you and your friends and your family.
Thank you.